From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruiak. Is it possible that tea is more like wine than coffee? Or that hippie food changed the way many of us eat today? And what would you put on a list of 15 foods that keep you fit? Those are the questions we're going to tackle today in three encore conversations. First, UC Davis chemistry professor Jackie Gervais-Haig. She joined us in 2017. She's done extensive research into tea and explained that green tea and black tea have the same origin.
They all come from a plant called Camellia sinensis. And what the difference is between green tea and black tea and oolong tea is the way that it's processed after the leaves are picked.
The oxidizing?
Yeah, there are differences in oxidation of the tea leaves. So, for example, green tea is steamed to stop an enzymatic reaction, and that minimizes the oxidants, whereas black tea is allowed to be roasted and heated, and that increases the number of antioxidants.
So that process must be where the caffeine factor evolves, too.
Well, actually, caffeine is not transformed under those circumstances. So the plants themselves will produce caffeine, and so the leaves at the starting point have caffeine in them. So the caffeine levels wouldn't necessarily be different. What happens is caffeine has different solubilities at different temperatures. And usually the way the teas are prepared, they will bring out more of the caffeine or less of the caffeine.
If people haven't figured out at this point, you are a chemist and you're a chemical profiler of teas. What else separates tea besides its color, its caffeine, and its processing?
Actually, where it's grown. So around the world, the soil it's grown in, the temperatures it's grown in, the height, the elevation that it's grown at, all of those are known to affect the chemical profile of the tea. And we're trying to understand what is the relationship between the environment and the chemical profile of tea.
Tea is not an export product or an export crop that people think of immediately with California, but we are producing some tea commercially, correct?
I'm aware of two small-scale farms in California that are producing tea.
And one happens to be in a fire concern area, doesn't
that's it? That's correct. One is Golden Feather Tea in Concow, California. So they're up at about 2,000 elevation. It's a beautiful tea garden with really optimal conditions for growing tea.
You have something called the California Tea Project. How does this encompass both your studies and the growers here in the state?
Well, our studies are really aimed at bringing tea as a growing possibility for small-scale farmers in California. And as chemists, we're interested in chemically profiling tea, not only to maximize the potential to grow it, but also to discover new medicines in tea. Mm. And we think that that will really add to the capability of farmers to have tea, you know, economically, so that it can be an economically viable crop for them.
How long has tea been studied at UC Davis? And you've brought samples along. I assume this is from your lab?
Yes, I have samples. We collect tea from all over the world. Most of our studies have been done in Taiwan. Taiwan has some of the world's best tea gardens at high elevations. Tea in California, we just discovered literally 1 year ago that tea had been studied at UC Davis since the 1960s. And actually, plants from that time are still here growing in California, and those have proved to be a very important resource for our studies. So we're using those plants to bring new plants, those plants and others now growing around the state, to propagate plants and make them available to farmers. We need to have the plants in order to understand the chemical profile and to be able to study the chemical profile.
So if that was a grapevine, of course, it would be an old vine, vintage, and it would become more precious and valued over time. How is it with a tea plant? And what is that comparison between tea and wine?
From our perspective, the tea growing in California, it's really a jewel. There are around the world very old tea trees that are prized for their harvest, just as you said, just as there are grapevines that are prized for the harvest. tea takes 6 years to grow, to get to full grown, and then it will produce for decades, maybe even hundreds of years. So we think by having the plants that we've found in California, not just at Kearney, but we've located plants at other regions in California now as well, those all that are actually decades old as well, those all can serve as a resource for us to be able to understand how the environment in these different regions is impacting the chemical profile of the tea.
Is an old tea plant more like a tree or a shrub?
Well, it depends on how it was taken care of and how it initially started. Oh. The ones that we've seen both, actually. So we've seen very tall trees as well as, you know, maybe 8 foot, 10 foot shrubs.
Would you say the tea industry, if you call it that, in California is somewhat at its infancy? And in that sense, compare it to our wine industry, for example.
So the tea industry in California is extremely vibrant, but I think the what is really important about that is that that is tea that is virtually all imported. It's a multi-billion dollar business in the United States. Most of the tea that is consumed, if not virtually all the tea that's consumed in the United States, is imported. So, for example, China grows, you know, 3 million acres of tea. India, 2 million acres of tea. In the U.S., we have less than 100 acres
of
tea.
Does that surprise you?
I kept on asking when we began studying this. It started as a passion, and I kept on asking tea growers, why don't we grow tea in the United States? And they would tell me it's because of the weather, the water, and the soil. I was like, well, okay, let me learn more about that. And so then I looked to India, and then I discovered that actually tea in India started at the same time we started growing tea here in the United States. And it took about 60 years in India for it to get established. And so I don't think the weather changed in that 60 years, and I don't think the water changed in that 60 years. But I think maybe the soil did, and I think it was perhaps bacteria in the soil or microbes, little organisms in the soil that were needed to support the tea growth. And that's exactly what we're studying here as well. And now that we have these plants that have been growing for 60 years, it gives us that opportunity.
So you're a chemist that now has to look at microbes in the soil.
That's right.
As well as plant biology.
That's right. Yeah. So we're really stretching the boundaries of our discipline.
Well, I can't let you go without asking what your favorite is. You brought something beautiful in a box in front of you.
Yeah. So one thing we didn't talk about is that there's another kind of tea. So I was talking about the oxidation levels of tea, and that's the green, the black, and the oolong. But then there's a fermented tea, which is called pu'er. And this usually comes as a cake. And that actually bacteria does contribute to the taste and probably even the health attributes of that tea as well.
Well, it does look like a big, a beautifully wrapped cookie in a box. We'll take a picture of it and put it out. So come back and tell us as you learn more about tea in general, but tea specifically in being able to be grown in California.
Thank you very much, Beth. I'll be sure to do that.
UC Davis chemistry professor Jackie Gervais-Haig. Her research into tea continues, and so does this hour of conversation about food and drink. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.